you're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is the advancement of the kingdom.
And let them have dominion.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
There is no other message right now God wants Nigeria to understand except the kingdom. They preach all the things that need to be preached, holiness, all those things. It can't change this country. It can't. What we have preached for the last 36 years is the gospel of grace. It's all self-centered. It's all about people, me, about individuals. What the nation needs is the gospel that changes society. And like Charles Spurgeon said, he said, any gospel that cannot change society is not a gospel at all. So it's not that the gospel of grace is not the gospel, but it is half-truth. And like a medicine that is supposed to cure you when you take a particular dosage, or in the making of these drugs, like what NAFDAC is fighting, some of the drugs are not fake, but what they do is that they reduce the quantity of the ingredients that should be there. If you need 50 ml of a particular substance to create that drug so that it can make the impact, they go and put 15. So it's the same thing. When you preach half-truth, you destroy the power of the medicine. At the end of the day, it doesn't make the impact. That's what has been happening to our nation. Last December, I was in all the major conventions. There was something that took me around. After the Lord has dealt with me that he needs a change in the church right now, I said, Lord, you have people to do. Why are you disturbing me about some of these issues? He said, okay, go for the conferences. I took off, I got up, I went. There is nothing we are saying. Nothing. Look at all the problems in the nation. And the only ones that can provide the direction is the church. And the church doesn't have the direction. One church actually changed a whole Ukraine. Just one church can do it. And we have churches of millions of followership and other. He said, there's a problem. The problem is the message. So there is a new order coming. And it's not something that can be done in the flesh. If we don't bet it in prayer, forget about it. One church organizes a whole national revolution, brings Christians on the street and marches till they overthrow government. One church will rise up and say, no more airing of pornography. In Europe, is that possible? And they succeeded. Companies, very powerful and rich companies who are making profit will rise up against the church. They end up swallowing up all those companies. The problem about the kingdom is that it first comes in men. It doesn't come to society first. It's not like something you come there and see. It's something that happens to people. It's an experience that people enter into, and then the people that have entered it become the channels for spreading it. So, and then talking about people entering into it, they can't enter into it except they first get a revelation of it. The whole thing about the kingdom is done in such a way that without revelation, it doesn't work. It's not like an outward system. It's a spiritual system that ends up changing the outward society, changing the systems of this world. But it's first a spiritual system. It's a set of God's values coming first into men, but it ends up changing literal society. So it's not something we pray, let it happen to society. It doesn't happen that way. It's something that must happen to men. And then those men will spread it. And for it to impact human beings, revelation is the key. That's why after Jesus preached, they came together and asked him, why are you talking to everybody in parable? He said, because these guys can't assess these things. The more they even hear, the further they go from this thing. The more they look, the less they see. But to you, it is given to know. So those who get to know the kingdom are those who seek to know it. It is something that must be sought. I say, look at the whole 40 million Christians in this nation, and we're still blinded to this thing. And society is degenerating every day before us, and we don't know what to do. We are strong enough to have an economy that can change the whole continent. We don't have. We don't even know that we are meant to have. What they are teaching us is the gospel of salvation. You prosper, you order. So you buy a jeep, you buy that, you live in a good house, you think that's prosperity. That's no prosperity. That's no prosperity when we have a lot of jobless people in church. That's no prosperity when we have people who are going without meal every day in the same church. There was not one person among them that lacked. That's where God is taking us now. There are two things if you want to talk about the health program. He said there was no feeble person among them. I pray that God will help us get to that point. Everybody healed, and not just healed, put into a health program that keeps them away from sickness. Look at this guy. Come. When did you give your life to Christ?
About 3 years ago.
You said you've been sick for how many years?
Almost 18 years.
He's been sick for 18 years. He came to talk to me two or three days ago here, outside that place. He said, pray for me. I said, pray for you for what? He said, he's been sick for 18 years. I said, have you been coming to this church? He said, yes. I said, since when did you give your life to Christ? If he was a baby Christian, I would have laid hands on him immediately. And he will be healed. Lay hands on him, he will not be healed. He will join me to the list of those who prayed for him. I won't lay hands on you. Why is he sick? He is blind. He's been in the kingdom for 3 years, doesn't know anything about it. This kingdom has a health program that guarantees health to every person in it. This is anti-kingdom life. Because you might be here, and your own might be the economic system of the kingdom. You are in the kingdom. You are not operating in it. This anti-kingdom life. I asked him, there is a book on healing. Have you read it? No. There are tapes on healing. Do you have any? No. How many tapes in this ministry do you have? 8. 3 years in the ministry. 8 tapes. I listen to a tape a day. That's the least. That's why I'm like this. That's why you are coming to me. If you are listening to it like that, people will have been coming to you. So you see, it's not God liking one person more than the other. It's you, a blind man, living in the kingdom. You die like this, you go down, you say God didn't heal you. But you are the one. You eat every day, but you will do nothing about your spiritual life. There is a system. Everyone says system. Now, why did I bring him out? So you can pray. Many people are blind. I say 40 million people blind in this country, including preachers. A nation does not change by the number of believers in it. You can get 100% of Nigerians born again and you will see the worse than this. Because most of the atrocities that is destroying the nation now are not being committed by Muslims. No, if there is any group that should know about freedom of association, freedom of expression, it should be the Christians. But we are not behaving like the Muslims. So it's not by professing Christianity or by attending church that makes you a Christian. I gave my life to Christ in 1981. I've been healthy since. I used to be very sickly, and I had 3 major issues. I've been healthy since. 81. You joined the church a year plus. A year is enough. 6 months is enough. Have you gone for the LI?
No, I'm in foundational school now.
If you have gone for the LI, you won't still be talking about this. You have gone for it since. The things that you need are the things you are not doing. You want to defend yourself. My own has evidence. And I'm telling you, there's nothing I did different. Proverbs chapter 4. You want to tell me that because you are 1 year, I should pray for you. We have close to 40 million people like this. But at least out of that 40 million, there are many that have understood the gospel of grace. And the gospel of grace includes how Jesus died for your healing. So that one could have helped you. So now I'm bothering about the gospel of the kingdom, yeah?
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart.
How many places are we supposed to put this thing? First, he said to attend to it.
Incline your ear to
my sayings. Your ear. The first thing is this hearing thing. Tapes, messages, attending meetings where you hear. Second one.
Let them not depart from thy eyes.
Second one is eyes. Visuals. There are so many forms of visuals, like Passion of the Christ and many other forms. Keep it before your eyes. Mm-hmm.
Keep them in the midst of thy heart.
Third is the heart. I know how to watch something. I also know how to listen to something. The one I don't know is, how do you put it in your heart? Who knows? I need help. How do you put it in your heart? Meditation. I know how to eat something. I know how to drink water. But how do you put food inside your bloodstream? Eh? Digestion. That is the difference between me and you. Not title, not pastor, not nothing. Distance. There is a fourth instruction there.
Verse 22. Say, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh.
My friend, you see what is keeping me healthy? This thing. I hear it. I listen to it. I watch it. I meditate on it. But there's another one. Find it. It's the next line there.
Verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
Put away from thee a forward mouth.
Mm-hmm. The next instruction is the tongue. The tongue. You have to remove some things from saying it and say the same thing you are hearing, you are watching, that you are thinking. Just these four laws, you change. I don't care which area of your life. The only other thing here is, you cannot be sick and you are listening to tapes on prosperity. Just like you cannot have headache and you are taking cough syrup. You won't get the result. You will just be getting healthier as far as prosperity is concerned. So you are supposed to check your life where you are sick. Where you are not strong. That is the same area where you should feed on in order to create equilibrium. To balance that area of your life. You find some Christians who are doing well with health now. But their finances. They need to get everything. Apostle Wenger came, this one came, all the things that we have taught on finances, and wealth creation, on prosperity and all that. And listen to it, and watch it, and talk it, and all that, and meditate on it, till it produces the result. It is life to those that find it. And the second thing said, it is what? Health, healing. To all their bodies, all their flesh. When I learned this, I learned it from Kenny Hagin. That all these healings by laying on hands, people praying for you, usually what you get, you can lose. But the one you get by taking God's mercy, he was teaching on these things, he calls it God's mercy. The one you get by that, you can't lose. Then he talked about a woman that opened a kind of hospital and she doesn't use mercy. The hospital, they will bring in sick people, put them on beds, they will give them beds. And she will put them on word therapy. This thing. Watching, listening, talking, and meditation. And some are people that have been given up to die with the worst form of sicknesses, cancer, and all that. They will go through this first day, second day, and tell the lady it's not working. She will say, the medicine the doctor gave you, some of you have taken it for 15 years. Did it work? Some of you have taken it for 2 years. Why are you making this to work in 3 days? And the person will stay and take it every morning, every evening. Because Joshua said, meditate on it. What? There. That means you're supposed to wake up and take some word input. Go to bed taking some new one. Second day, many of them, between 3 to 10 days, they're out of the bed. He doesn't fail. Go to hospital. Just lay hands on somebody that is near the gates of death. Just lay one careless and you can finish and walk away. The person will join his ancestors. Put him on a word therapy. Yeah. Why? What happens is that as they feed on those things, they finally get to a point where faith opens up. Faith is a result of revelation. Faith is not something you just get from the air. Faith is something that comes as a result of what you hear. Faith is something that comes because of what you hear. You hear it and hear it. Finally, it quickens your heart. And that thing becomes... That is how. So a lot of people are gambling with their life, thinking that Christianity is a game of chance. When they told me that my wife will not be able to deliver the first baby, and that baby was the biggest, Shalom. And it's the first. And you start doing operation. So, when all the reports and all that has finally come to the table, that operation will be needed, I told her, if I lay hands on you, it will not work. Why? Your faith is dead. You know, sometimes you think you have faith because you agree with your head that the word of God is true. That means you have faith. That's not faith, my friend. Faith is not agreeing, God, what you said is true. I believe. That's not faith, my friend. That's called mental assent. Faith is a force. When it rises, you will know you have it. It's in your spirit. Like the anointing. It's a force. And it can move physical mountains. But that force comes as a result of what you are hearing. I said, lay hands on you is a waste of time. It won't work. So you choose. Go and take the operation. Or you take God's therapy. And God's therapy will work. I said, between now and the next 2 weeks, we shut out all the people you are listening to, doctors, nurses, all the people that know all the negative things. Because the Bible said there, guard your heart or protect. The word guard there is protect your heart with all diligence. You have to make effort. This thing that will set you free will flow from within you. It's not going to come from somebody's hand. Out of it are the issues of life. Your healing is inside you. Do you have Jesus Christ inside you? Are you sure you have received him? How can you be looking for healer? Who is the healer? Is it me or who? When the thing is inside you. Have you received the Holy Spirit? You have. And you're looking for who will lay hands on you. Where is the Holy Spirit? In here. Where is the healing? In there. Where is the healer? In there. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken, heal your mortal bodies. So we leave the deposit and we are running around looking for shadows. So see the point. Faith and reason in a time don't go together. That was it. Put her in the house. I say every morning, every afternoon, every evening, 3 times a day. I got a book, Supernatural Childbirth. I say, sit down, read this book. He said, what about when I finish the book? I say, you start from page 1 again. I say, you will read that book at least 7 times before you get a revelation in it. That's what has been deceiving people. They read the book, they collected information, they think that is revelation. Information is where Adam fell to. Adam fell from revelation to information. And when you fall from revelation to information, you lose operation or manifestation. You can have things you know and be talking about it. Where is the evidence? See me now, I'm talking to you. I have the evidence of that thing you're talking about. I have the evidence. Faith is the substance and the evidence of what you're talking about, not theory or talk. I have the evidence of it. I have the evidence in my finances. I have the evidence. Because you hear this thing till it produces a rock in your spirit that you know that you know. At that moment, you open your mouth and declare it, it happens. So there are some of these things you are saying, you should keep your mouth shut till the conviction comes first. Other times, you should say it because as you are saying it, you are convincing yourself further. Until finally you get to the point where this time when you say it, you know you believe it. The whole thing about the kingdom begins with the opening of the eyes. The opening of the eyes. There is a revelation. Without it, everything. And when it comes to manifestation, you are going to manifest error if your understanding of revelation is faulty. The foundation of kingdom life is revelation. So all this, thy kingdom come, is insight about the plan and purposes of God, the values of God. We have to come inside men. And it doesn't come with observation. It doesn't come in the air. It comes within people. And the people that have the ability to catch it are those that have been born twice. Natural man can't. Thy kingdom come. It comes in form of illumination. It comes with the activities of the Holy Spirit in the heart of men. And then the manifestation starts through those people. How come I said it's possible to have everybody in a society born again, and yet the kingdom of God has not come to that society? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter. He cannot enter. But it is possible for a man to be born again and still not enter. I want you to notice the difference between those two statements. If you are not born again, you cannot see. That's the word there. That enter is see and experience the kingdom. But at the same time, there are many people that are born again that are not experiencing the kingdom. I just showed you one example. What people have been interpreting that scripture to mean is, except a man be born again, he cannot go to heaven. That's not what he's saying there. That's not what he's saying there. What gives our people access to the kingdom is revelation. And new birth is what makes revelation possible. He said in him was life, and the life is the light of men. If there is no regeneration, the kind of insight that will now give you access to this will not come. Why did he say, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life? He now said to them, to you it is given, to them it is not given. He's preaching it to them, but they can't understand it. So I want to make a very important point, which will lead us to pray. You can have 70% of Nigerians born again, and the kingdom has not yet come to Nigeria. Why? The reason is because it is not new birth that is the kingdom. The kingdom has come to a place when the system of God starts operating in that place. The kingdom is about God's system. America has a system. If we start functioning here in Nigeria exactly as where they are functioning in UK, then the kingdom of UK has come here. It's a system. For example, there is an economic system. You will not find in Nigeria any provision in our economic system to balance the issue of poverty and the weak in the society. If you notice, last time they were knocking down buildings in Abuja, and I was crying. The same poor people are the same ones suffering from all the policies of the government. We have seen governors who are attending Pentecostal churches, and they looted the whole state down. So I want you to see, it's not about profession of Christianity or going to church and all that. It's about God's system. For example, when you get into God's economic system, you see that the weak in a society are well covered and protected. The poor, there are five classes, the widows, the orphans, the destitute, and so on and so forth. If you keep a policy in program that is only empowering the rich and is destroying the poor in the land, that is an oppressive system. You go to 1004. The same people that have served government all these years. If you check all that you are paying them, how can he get them a house? You say you are selling off the whole place, end up the rich buys it. What about these people? But I want you to know that the problem is not from these politicians. The problem is the church and the message we are peddled. What you see that are exhibiting is the messages that they've had. We don't know anything about Commonwealth. Yet, the new covenant brought us into Commonwealth of Israel. They had all things in common. The Bible said, not that I might eat some and then burdensome, but by measure of equality. Not that you don't have. People have right to own their properties, but there's a program that must be put in place to balance these inequalities in society. That's God's system. Christians who founded nations like US, UK, That's the reason in that nation, the basic amenities of life is available to everyone. If you're a citizen, you will have housing, you will eat, you will have Medicare. Let's now know that it is the luxuries or the other things of life that you are struggling for. That's where the differences should be. You might not have a jet when I have a jet. You might not have an E-class when this man has an E-class. But the basic things, electricity, water, transportation, shelter, healthcare. And when you get to heaven, you will notice that there will be inequalities in the other areas. There will be ranks. There will be those who are wealthier than others. But the basic things, everybody will have health. Everybody will have access to water. Everybody will have enough food. You won't see one person that is not. There won't be anything like his sickness. Everybody will have access to all of these things. Then, but everybody will not be living in a five-star mansion. Everybody will not be driving the same whatever. Those ones are now based on your. Till you get to US, they have basic things that are provided for everybody. Because Christians who read the Bible understood what God was talking about. They used this thing to create a society. So housing is not a luxury. It's a basic thing that every citizen should have. In UK now, even a teenager gets pregnant and runs away from the house. Government provides her with a house. No matter what you are suffering from, any kind of medical, whatever, it's free. It's a system. That system is what God wants us to introduce into our society. When we succeed in introducing it, then our society is now heaven on earth. That's the meaning of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's what God is talking about. The second thing about the kingdom is about values. Values. Jesus did not just say to seek the kingdom. He said to seek his righteousness. What does he mean by his righteousness? The values of the kingdom. There are things we value here. We have family values. We have certain values, spiritual values. And the values we have here is opposite of what they are practicing in the world. That's why Paul was writing, then be not conformed to the world. Don't imbibe worldly values. Change the way you are thinking. Once you come into the kingdom of God, you have to change from that your worldly way of thinking and imbibe new set of values. Look at here. We have values for family. We have values for purity. We have value for that. It's a very important thing here. We don't cohabit. A guy doesn't just propose to you, will you marry me? Next thing you're packing to his house. You don't do that here. That's what they are doing out there. This system is opposite the one he's trying to change. The one he's trying to change is the world system. This one is a stone cut out by no human hand that is coming to knock down all of this world system that human beings have created for centuries, and he will replace it with a giant mountain. See, if I sit down to discuss God's economic system, I've been able to lay hold of about 24 major principles that work there. Look at the lending approach, the issue about credit, extension of credit. God has two types of credits in his kingdom. He has commercial loans and he has charitable loans, and two of them must be in the system. Most of us in the church only understand, because if you are from the world system, you only understand commercial loans. Those are kind of loans you give people with interest. Jesus said that the gentleman he gave some money was wicked. That even if he couldn't trade, Jesus is talking about entrepreneurial and trading and business. It's part of the principles of the kingdom. But even if he couldn't trade, he should have at least used that money for a lending scheme that gains interest. The simplest way is give it to a bank that at my return, I will receive my money with interest. So in the kingdom of God, there is commercial lending system, which is the way the capitalist economy or system is organized. And the interests are so high that the poor man has no way to survive. God also created another lending system, which is based on charity. In that one, you don't take interest. So what is the distinguishing factor between the two? Number one, the purpose of the loan and who you are giving the loan. If the loan is being given to a poor brother or sister, you don't extend to a man that is struggling, that is one of the five groups called the weak in society. Every society is judged by God by how they treat the weak among them. The widows, who have lost the security of the husband and the breadwinner. And widows are also qualified because some widows are more powerful than men. We're not talking about them. The orphans, look at the fatherless, street children, the destitute. See, destitute even include these people living in streets, no shelter, no nothing. They needed the poor. Now, you see a widow completely in need. You don't give her a loan with credit. You give it to her and a period of time for her to pay back what she was given, not with interest. That system is not operating in the world. There is no set up organization or institution that will get themselves organized now and say they have money, come and collect and all that. You won't find it. If you find it, tell me, I will announce it to brethren tomorrow. They will go there and finish the money. You will not find it in the world, but that is where it exists in the kingdom. So this our church that you ride E-class, you fly a jet and all that, and we have people who can, it is nonsense. We're going to be correcting all these things now. Let me tell you my own approach to this Christianity. It's either we are operating biblical Christianity or throw this thing and go to hell. It's either it's real or it's not real. That inability to respond to a needy brother is the reason the rich man went to hell. Many of you have Lazarus around you, you will go to hell. Oh. Let me show you. Jesus said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting damnation, into eternal hell, prepared for the devil and his angels from the foundation of the world. He said, who did he say that to? He said, I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no water. And people say, when did we do that? He said, when you didn't do it to one of my brothers. I wanted to see that God's economic system, when you practice it, there is a blessing that comes with it. A society, a community, a group of people that refuses to deal with that will also have consequences. He said, depart into everlasting flame, prepared for the devil and his angel. That means this is how the devil and his people operate. They don't have any compassion for the weak, the needy among their communities. So, setting up an economic system that takes care of the weak, the ones who are needy among us, is not an option for us here. If you think the guy, the rich man, was Abraham's seed, he said, Father Abraham, but he ended up in hell, and there are Christians in hell. Why? The only thing that can make an unbeliever not to go to heaven is not accepting Christ. The only thing that can make a believer not to go to heaven is not walking in love. And love is defined in two angles, forgiving and giving. Everyone say giving and forgiving. The giving side. The giving side. The giving side. The other is the forgiving side. This one that has to do with bitterness, you refuse to forgive somebody that hurt you. Those two are the problem. If you see a brother in a need, and you hold back your ball of compassion, you say, how dwelleth the love of God in you? This one is not malice. This one is not, I'm not forgiving them. This one is just holding compassion back. The values and the systems of God. First, that we are living in it and we are operating in it. Secondly, we now have to start strategizing on how to introduce it in every sector of society where we work or operate. And so on. Everywhere. Because you will not manifest well when you don't understand what it looks like. In your family now, they might be operating satanic system. Meanwhile, all of them are calling themselves Christians. What is the system of God? Completely opposite of that. Is this thing that we are to introduce in our marriages, in our families? Is this thing that we are to introduce in the church, introduce in society, in our working place? You build a business. When a fellow Christian works for you, what is God's economic system? God said, don't enslave him forever. The highest he can do that for you is 7 years. At the end of 7 years, call the bro. Sign a covenant with him that within these 7 years, he must not misbehave. Let him give the best to this organization. At the end of 7 years, call him. Say, my friend, you have helped me. You have enlarged. Because God has blessed me because of your coming in here. And all that. Then, furnish him. He said, I want to settle you so you can go and find your own. He said, don't send him away empty-handed. He don't send him away empty-handed.
You look into what God has blessed you and what he has contributed to the growth of your organization. And you take something and give it to go and start and tell him, you remember this organization started as a seed. It has grown like this. Take this too and go and start planting. Don't consume it. Very soon you're going to be even be bigger than me. And when you employ people too who are covenant people, treat them also the same way. Don't maltreat them. For this same thing, God, the Lord thy God blessed. In the world, it doesn't work like that. The salary system is meant to keep people to be surviving for the rest of their life. In God's kingdom, no. Then he said, but if that brother says, I'm all right. The way you are treating me here, I'm so glad. I want to stay with you for life. He then says, sign a second covenant to keep him for life. And that one, he must not break. Then he will work for this community, he dies. Because if you give the guy shares and partnership like Bill Gates gave some of those people, he will stay. Then you keep him for life. He said you should call one or two people as witnesses to sign that agreement. In other words, that is voluntarily, not that you forced him. Where are we going to get? Who is going to start this thing? When is it going to start? You see what I'm telling you? We have had church for over 30 something years, Pentecostal revival in Nigeria, and it still has not produced any change. The Bible teaches in the book of Acts that when they introduce the kingdom economic system into their means as a church, as a community of believers, society started joining them in multitudes. According to the scripture, there are two aspects of the gospel of the kingdom that if we practice, we can win the whole Lagos. One is the aspect of healing, the health program. The other is the aspect of the economy. Those two are the two things Jesus used to pull out the multitude. Those things are the two things that Peter and co used to pull. They said within 30 years after the death of Christ, they have discipled half of these people in Jerusalem. Within a few years after that, they have discipled half the people in Antioch, in Ephesus, and other. They come to a city, they take half of the whole people in the city. If there are 20 million people in Lagos, we collect 10 million of them, disciple them. Why? The economic program of God and the health program, those two, the healing ministry and the economic empowerment program, changes the whole society. Because the Bible said, all these things do the Gentiles seek. But what are they in Lagos to do? What are they in Alaba International to do? What are they in the banks to do? What are they in Ketu Market to do? What are they doing every day? They burn 6 days out of the 7 days every week. What are they pursuing? Is it not money? All these things do the Gentiles seek. But we should seek God's kingdom and his method, his influence, his values, his principles, and put it into program, and then we'll collect every other thing. Where the church has missed it in the past is that some churches have created charitable credit system and they practice that one. After a while, it leads to a collapse because it's just a group of people collecting money and spending and nothing. Paul balanced that. If you do not work, don't eat. You don't give such charity to help the people who can go and do something. That even widows should be qualified. There must not be less than 60 years. If not, let their children help them or let them go and work or marry. In other words, charity is something that should be qualified. It's not healthy, reliable people who can go and do something. Because that kind of charity is not helping anybody. It's not helping the man. Neither is it helping the system. So you see there are two dimensions there. You have to bring the Joseph strategy where things are given to replenish, plus what Peter did. And then you create God's economic system. I saw that Peter's project worked for a while. He did very well. He eliminated lack because the people who had were selling land and houses and distributing, and everyone's need was met. And they kept on and he grew the church. And when the church grew to about 150,000, something happened. A famine struck in the neighborhood of Judea, Jerusalem, and all of that area in Palestinian. We're not told how many years it lasted, but in Acts chapter 11, the famine was so strong that Peter's system collapsed and the brethren in Jerusalem went back into poverty. Paul
had to start raising money from all the Gentile churches, sending to Jerusalem to help them. Why? But Joseph too had 7 years famine, and his system grew stronger. Why? If people are just being given welfare without a way of creating wealth, we are just looking for trouble. It's just for a while. There are a lot of things. And if I take family now, if I take a social life, look at the book on covenant. What is covenant all about? Like when he was leading prayer, he said, let's pray for revelation of covenant. The more we talk like that, the more people are driven further away from the truth. When we say pray for revelation of covenant, pray for revelation, the more the church is further away from the truth. Yes. Because that's what we've been saying all these years. It is not a revelation of covenant. The truth is that this whole thing, teaching on covenant, is about one thing. What? Relationship. What? There is a level of relationship God wants in the church. The type that you, when you are doing business with me, you are sure. You are sure. Covenantal attitude is supposed to affect how I do business with fellow Christians, how we run our marriages, how we run ministry, how we run everything that involves more than one person. Covenant is about relationship. It's not about covenant. What is covenant? So the prayer is that brethren will get a revelation of the kind of relationship that should exist between brothers and brothers, between partners in business, between husband and wife. The kind of revelation of relationship that should exist between two Christians. Do you know that we are not supposed to lie to one another? Do you know that I'm not supposed to be afraid of sharing my weaknesses with you? All these things that somebody had a problem, he shared with you. You have taken it to TV or somewhere. That is anti-Christianity. You see what I'm saying? It's not the amount of people born again. It's whether the system of God is in operation. This, what I'm just discussing now is God's social system. He built it on covenant. A kind of relationship where trust can exist, loyalty can exist, faithfulness can exist. So covenant was a platform God used to restore this. Because that platform takes care of any dissident. It kills those who misbehave on its own. He said, for this reason, many are weak, many die before their time, and many are sick. The covenant platform judges those who break the value systems of it. It causes some to die of cancer, some die of accident, some die of that. It will eliminate you. If you will be in that system, but you will not work in the covenant, it will get you eliminated. So, covenant is the deepest revelation on relationship ever given to man. There is nothing after that. There is nothing before it. Where it doesn't work, nothing else will work. We live in a nation where the Yorubas, Igbos are fighting. They don't trust themselves. They are suspicious of each other. Now, if you leave human beings, they will carry that right inside church. What dissolves all of those dividing lines? This thing. And brings one man. God showed that God first did it between Jews and Gentiles in this thing, new experiment called church. That the wall of partition had been existing between these two ethnically diverse people, culturally diverse people, and of course Jewish people are highly biased against the Gentiles. Just like the Gentiles too hate the Jews. God divided that enmity and that wall of partition and that segregation and made one man out of the two. What did he use? What cement? What glue was that? Covenant. It's called the new covenant. That is that type of relationship that can make brethren become trustworthy. Because when people, somebody proposes to you, it's not the way you do. If you want to chase, go and chase unbeliever, do all those things and pay the price that goes with it. You don't go to a Christian, fellow Christian, and break her heart. You don't do that. God can kill you. That's his daughter. If we move this ministry to that level, we have obtained the social system of the kingdom of heaven. Because this is the kind of thing that operates between God and the Trinity, between God and us. And then we also learn about this thing that is also the same type of relationship that should exist between us and God. We know why God cannot fail. Why if we join hands and invoke him for anything, he must intervene. So that our prayer life is not a guesswork anymore. We're not just existing like orphans. Anything can happen. No. You know where Islam beats us? But if you notice something about them, a cartoon was made in Europe that mocked Muhammad. Muslims are rioting in the Middle East, as far as Indonesia. Here in Nigeria, they are burning houses. Have you seen that mobilizing of Muslims for unity, for any corporate cause, is not a hard thing? Do you know that there are so many sects in Islam in this country? They are not all the same, but they have differences. Those who believe in lifting hands, those who believe in doing it this way, they are different. But you will never find them quarreling publicly on the cause of Allah. What is this thing that is wrong with us? You see, the social system is faulty. We've copied the world system and we're using it in the church. Basically, you can take this guy to court. Take him to court. Your pastors are calling you. Say, don't, I will just leave this church. It's not church you will leave. You will leave the kingdom. You go and suffer what is happening in the world. There are two kinds of people in the UK. Citizens and non-citizens, immigrants. They are not enjoying the same benefits. And those two groups exist in the church. Just look at families. Find two families where there are certain strong family values and traditions. Another family where they don't. In this family, all the girls just get pregnant in their father's houses. Even the wife, their mother, yeah, he has boyfriends. The father, he has a child in Abuja. He has one in Ajokuta. He has another one in you come to this family. They have values. 7 p.m., you are in the house. There's morning devotion. There's issues about character, honesty, issues about decency. When the kids grow up and you send them out in society, you just see. So those values are what you're going to carry with you. That's what ends up becoming what you're exhibiting. That's what you finally contribute to wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever. You come from the place where they fight and cause and all that. You see a grown-up, is a married woman, or see her in the yard fighting and cursing and all that. You wonder why. That's how she grew up. So people are giving birth to armed robbers, prostitutes, and all that. It has nothing to do with the church you attend. It has to do with the values, the principles that are inculcated into those lives. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. So when these things are now taken to the wider scope, that society, and it begins to affect the way we live, you say the kingdom of God has come to that nation or to that city. Or to that society or organization. So we can be a church with a signboard, Dominion City, speaking tongue, do worship here, and God's kingdom is not here. You can be exhibiting Satan's kingdom, not knowing. Communism has defined values, capitalism has defined values. There are two economic systems. So that you live in America is not the point. If you are made a governor of Chicago and you start teaching socialist ideologies and start practicing communist values and all that, you are actually trying to import Russia into US. That you call yourself whatever is not important is the value, the system you are operating. And just like we're talking about our nation, it's not all bad. There are some good things that also happen. The legislation that is going on against 5 years imprisonment for any clergyman or pastor or individual or court clerk who weds homosexuals, male to male, female to female, or the people themselves who are getting married, 5 years imprisonment. So that's a powerful one. That, you see, the value of God is being put into law as a legislation in society. Church that should provide the president the moral compass with which he rules society. Not as part of where all we are saying we are against. No. It's revelation. It's teaching. It's explanation. And all that. And inculcation of values. Then he says, hey, this is really bad. Next time we need to knock down these buildings.
What we will do is, we'll go and create an estate. Go to one of the estates, create a neighborhood, and put these poor people there. Instead of knocking them, they come before the TV. They are calling the God of, because they know they can't go to court. They know you will hijack the court. The only person they can call is God. It will come on your generations after you. He said a king's throne is established when he judges the poor rightly. You read about the stem that shall come out of the root of Jesse. And the seven spirits of God will rest upon him. When he finally finishes all that, he said, with equity, that's justice, he will judge the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. He will make sure that their rights are not denied them. So in other words, there are social justice. There is such a thing as social justice. It's the way you do things in society. The weakest among us suffer. I've been thinking strongly on these things. Recently, a couple of 2 weeks ago, I was brooding on this one day, and I was thinking about the fact that we're going to be building an university. I ask questions, and my friends, they tell me, the cost of running an university is so high. The cost of building this, developing it, and all that is so high. I said, Lord, I don't see how we can build this kind of thing and then make it so cheap. He said, but that's the problem. That's the problem you have. You get normal people to get the money, then you build it for only the rich in society to attend. He said, that is not it. The message is wrongly understood. That's why it's like that. God talked to me for 3 hours just to knock off, because I can't see another way out. So at the end of the day, the same God's people, you know, already the universities built by government, by the world system, many of them can't afford. Okay, the one that God brought in, that cannot help, they can't afford it. So education is denied them in society, is denied them in the kingdom. I'm talking about God's educational system. Look at discipleship. The things that are being put inside you, if we start charging for it. You know how many school fees you should have paid last year? You should pay this year. Now, I'm not saying that you might not have to charge something. You will have, because people are earning a living by that. You know, in church, there is also an economic system, the tithing and all the other things to keep the system going. If not, it will collapse. There should be a form of fees and other things that is done to keep that system going. Be able to maintain and do all that. And maybe there should also be a system to get some more from the rich and then make education one of those common denominators. Everybody should be able to at least go to school here and produce the best students. The kingdom, if we preach this message for the next 30 years, this Nigeria will be greater than U.S. I have all kinds of histories of U.S., United States, all types, everything, the covenants that set up the nation, how all their police, how their constitution was created, everything, all the wars they fought. I have read through all of that, and I found that Christian gentlemen who had commitment to practice the Bible laid the foundation of that nation and built it, fought wars to defend it. 2 major principles undergirded everything they did. First, the issue of guaranteeing personal freedom, where government and anything cannot take it away from the people, to the point that they put in their constitution that any government that now tries to take away freedom from the people should rise and overthrow it. That's the kind of democracy we need in Nigeria. Then they also, after a while, saw that freedom to individuals will lead to anarchy if it is not balanced with social responsibilities. You have freedom to be as wealthy as you want to be, but you must share some of that wealth with others. You have freedom to express yourself anyhow you want, but you cannot say what will hurt your neighbor. You have freedom to dress whatever way you like, but the problem is, don't dress in a way that affects the other person. That's why the foundation, forget the decay that is occurring right now in that nation right now. Forget about that. That nation for 200 and something years became a symbol, just like a light to the rest of the world, including the nations that mentored them. They just took the summary of the Bible. Love your neighbor
as yourself. So first one, freedom, personal freedom, right to life, right to self-expression, right to pursue your own peace, right to security, right to property, right to do your own business and prosper without anybody stopping you. But that's everything. The pursuit of personal happiness and prosperity was the second foundation. That you are not only responsible for yourself, you are responsible for your neighbor. Then they balanced it. So when they want to make a concession or make a law, they check. Is it interfering with personal individual freedom? No. I hope it's also not interfering with other people's welfare. No. Let's put it. It's going to guarantee not just my happiness, but the happiness of my brother. Then that is a righteous law. The same way God used the love to lay the foundation of all the Ten Commandments and all the laws he gave, they use love to lay the foundation of their concession. The gospel of the kingdom is introducing that other side that is missing. We have been pursuing this thing for ourselves. God said it's not enough. There is the other side. Responsibility for neighbor. Responsibility, social responsibility. Responsibility for your nation. Responsibility for others. Plus the quest for personal happiness or success. I want to be healed. I want to prosper. I want to marry. I want to me. Balance it. Where you start seeking that all those things you want for yourself, you now want many people around you to get it. That society becomes heaven. When you now build structures and institutions that help to propel these things to further advance such causes, you have built heaven on earth. And we can do it. We can. If I tell you now I don't know what to do, I'll be lying. I know what to do to change Nigeria. I also know that it's not easy. Nigeria needs a new orientation. We need to redisciple this country. A new way of thinking. When we start that, you will see that Lagos is not clean. It will become clean. You don't just do what is all right for you. You have to do what is all right for society. What is right for your neighbor. You don't just eat something and drop it in the road. The more I study the kingdom, the more I'm becoming self-restrained about certain things. It's not just me now. Before we used to say, I don't care what happens to you. As long as I'm all right. No, you have to. Not if you're a God kind of person. But you read love, he said, love does not seek its own. He said, in honor, prefer one another. What is that? Values. Values. Because some believers have personal responsibilities and they have responsibilities for their families. No wonder Jesus said, one who can provide for his family, or Paul writing, he said he's worse than the infidel. There are men like that. Once they eat and get you drink and all right, what happens to the children? That's their business. Women, that's their business. If we all live to satisfy self, then we have created something worse than the animal kingdom. Let me tell you something. You don't need to travel to another place to go to hell. You can be in hell right here in Nigeria. And you don't need to travel somewhere else to go to heaven. You can be in heaven right here in Nigeria. It depends on which system we operate in here. And which kingdom is influencing this society. Let's pray about this thing, because it's such a serious thing that if our eyes does not open, forget about it. I'm already a blessed man. So what is my concern again? Why am I bothering? I can feed myself. I can take care of myself. Take care of my family. So what is this concern? This individual prosperity is not it. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Let's talk to the Lord to help us. It's a Christian economy emerging in these last days. An economic system that takes care of the poor. That takes care of the needy. Don't you want when you come out of school, there is hope for you? Why would you want to run away to the U.S.? And go there and be washing cups. You don't have work permit. And go there and be a slave. Your own great-grandfather, they captured them and sold them by force. You say yourself free.
It's the same slave trade, though. Don't you want when your children graduate from school that there is hope for them? Don't you want a society where the normal person can have... I'm not crying for myself now. Don't you want that kind of system? Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us this whole thing. To do something to all of us. Preachers down, all of us. Do something to us, friend. Church change, families change, individuals change, businessmen change. We live with a new way, a new sight, a new global vision, a new vision for our nation. Then a new way of relating to one another, a new understanding of covenant attitude to relationships. Where you can give me your property to keep, you are sure it's safe. Where you know if I tell you something, you are sure you can rely on that word.
If you've been impacted by this message, please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3820.